DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Institute for Priestly Formation, presents The Way of Mystery, The Eucharist and Moral Living with Deacon James Keating. Deacon Keating is the Director of Theological Formation at the Institute for Priestly Formation, located at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. He's the author of numerous books, including Remain in Me, Holy Orders, Prayer and Ministry, Spousal Prayer, and The Heart of the Diaconate. Deacon Keating has led more than 400 workshops on moral theology and spirituality, and regularly conducts retreats and parish missions. The Way of Mystery, the Eucharist, and Moral Living with Deacon James Keating. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. In our last segment, the Paschal Mystery and the role that it plays in our life. But the Paschal Mystery really is so connected to the Eucharist and our Eucharistic liturgy that they really need to be seen together, don't they?
The Paschal Mystery is the extension, the continuation of that mystery in time when we celebrate the Mass. So it's the way that Christ makes his gift to us, the gift of his own life. It's the way that Christ makes his gift to us present down through time.
You point out in The Way of Mystery that there exists an intimate connection between how the Church prays, what it believes, and how it acts. And I find that that really draws us to what is our participation in the Eucharistic liturgy. I mean, if we are praying and how it acts, I mean, we are a part of that, aren't we?
Our participation in the Eucharistic liturgy, to some extent, is really an availability that we render to Christ. We make ourselves available to be taken up into his life, his death, and his resurrection. So to some extent, to participate in the Mass is an active, passive presence. In other words, that we are eagerly awaiting our desire to be taken by Christ, taken by his life and his death and his resurrection, taken by his love for the world, and then to live in that life, death, and resurrection by the power of his Holy Spirit and by his indwelling presence in us through our reception of Holy Communion. So when we go to the Holy Eucharist, when we go to the Eucharistic liturgy, we are going there to participate, and our participation is really borne out or fulfilled when we are taken by Christ into his own love for us.
I think we often consider our participation in terms of, unfortunately, an obligation or under the penalty of sin if we're not attending. That really would be the wrong way to participate, wouldn't it?
Right. That minimalistic thinking truly just makes us want to appear at Mass, to show up. Obviously, there's more to it than just appearing at Mass. But when we have a minimalistic vision or simply an obligatory vision of why we are going to our community on Sunday, then there is the great risk of, well, I showed up, I did my duty, I appeared, and that's sufficient. It's sufficient only as a beginning, because when we appear at Mass or when we show up at Mass, we then have to begin the work of the liturgy. And on our side, the work of the liturgy is to slowly and surely, by the Mass itself, by entering into the rhythm of the Mass itself, slowly but surely open ourselves to this mystery from the inside out. So it takes a real interior life to participate at the Mass. It's not just a hale and hearty fellowship that we're going to, and our friends are around us, and we have nice feelings about being a Christian community. It's whether or not we are rendering ourselves truly available to Christ from the inside out, and also to render ourselves truly available to our fellow Catholics around us. It can be a temptation to fall into a bit of a show at Sunday Mass, that we're all smiles and we wear our nice face and we're putting on a bit of a mask there. When people may really need us, they may really need our friendship, they may really need our listening ear, our listening heart. And so we want to turn in to be available to Christ, and we want to turn in and be truly available and truly listen to our brothers and sisters there when we might have our fellowship time after Mass, or we might informally meet after Mass or before Mass, that we are truly interested in one another. So our participation is going to be fruitful or less than fruitful as we measure our ability to go within ourselves and to render ourselves available both to the mystery of Christ and to the people that we call our brothers and sisters in Christ as well.
As you speak, it makes me think that we have to be truly aware of our decision to participate. And we have to be aware of ourselves and why we are doing, and not just acting out of rote.
There's a real intention that's present. I intend to be present. Even if we have to say that as we're driving or walking to Mass in the morning or whenever we celebrate the Mass, that I intend to be present. I'm going to the Eucharist, and it's a conscious intention to be present there and to render myself available to Christ and to my brothers and sisters. So, yes, there may be instances where we just show up, and there may be instances where it's rote, and that, of course, we just chalk up to human weakness and our own finitude and limitations, but that shouldn't be the norm for us. The norm should be an awareness that now is the time that Christ has made present for us. He's made it present for us to be taken up into salvation. I want to be present to this time, and I want to be intentionally present to this time so I don't miss it. This is the great mystery and the great gift of eternity moving into time. He's made salvation present for me here and now. I'm going to respond to that gift. That's the intention we ought to have.
You mention in The Way of Mystery that it really depends on where we are in our conversion of our experience of the liturgy and of the Eucharist, and that really can vary depending on where we are in that conversion.
We're all at different points in the journey to holiness, and I think it was T.S. Eliot that said the Catholic Church is here comes everybody, and here comes everybody at different points along the conversion continuum. And that's where we have to take each other. There's a truism in pastoral life sometimes, which is a little worn out these days, but they always say, you have to take people where they are. Well, okay, it's kind of impossible not to take people where they are. Mm-hmm. But the truth that's in that worn out phrase is that conversion is developmental. And conversion is not something that happens all at once normally. Even for those who would have a deeply mystical experience, the experience itself occurs, and one is taken to a heightened consciousness of God's love. But then for the rest of their days, they're unpacking that experience, and they're applying that experience to the healings that they may need in various areas of their character. So even if you have a mystical experience, you're not all at once healed of everything. That experience is directing itself in a human way. Christ comes at us with due regard for our capacity to receive him. And so he works upon our hearts in little ways. He has a great reverence for where we are, but he will never leave us half finished. And so we come to the Mass at our various levels of conversion, and from those various levels of conversion, we cry out to Christ to heal us. We cry out to Christ to complete us. And that's what all those Masses are doing for us. All the Masses that we participate in are coalescing to conspire in our healing, in our wholeness, or in our salvation.
You mentioned earlier that there is often times when we go to the Eucharistic liturgy, when we go to Mass on Sunday, we hope to feel good things, and we want to experience community. We want to celebrate with joy. But there will be times, and we need to recognize, don't we, that there may even be suffering that will occur interiorly for us when we go to the Eucharist.
True, on a couple different levels. I mean, we can't manufacture our feelings. We can't all be going to Mass. And this was some of the superficial manufacturing that might have been happening 30 years ago or so, where everyone was supposed to be happy and the songs were supposed to be bouncy and joyful. And Well, you can't manufacture interiority, and you can't manufacture affection. There are people who are going to Mass who just fell in love and they are deliriously joyful, and gratitude is overwhelming their heart. And there are people who are going to Mass who just had their longtime husband die, and they are going in desolation, and they're going in sadness and confusion about God's love for them. Well, they're both there, and they both have to come to God with the truth of their experience, and God will come to them within the truth of that experience. So there may be joy that is happening at the Mass for some, but for others, the Mass is going to be a burden because their life is a burden. And they have to bring that burden to Christ so that Christ can carry it with them. The worst thing that we want to do when we're feeling sad or depressed, or even the opposite, when things are going all our way and somehow we mistakenly think that that's our to our credit and it's not a gift of God, we have to always attend the Mass despite whatever affections we have. We have to always attend the Mass. And that goes countercultural to our popular way of looking at things. Well, I just don't feel like going. I just don't feel like attending. And of course, we live in a culture that's run by emotionalism, so it's understandable that people would measure their worship life according to their emotions too. But we have to push against that, and we have to show up anyway. Whether you're deliriously happy and you have a whole life to live and Mass is kind of in the way, or whether you're so sad and disappointed in God because a tragedy has befallen your life, faith pushes us to go against the affect in those cases and to appear in a, I was going to say a needy state, that might be too extreme, but to appear in a an attitude or with a disposition of expectancy. God, I am so sad. God, I am so beleaguered by my feelings. Would you please move in me? Or the opposite, God, I'm so joyful. My life is going so well. I'm not quite sure why I need to be here. I'm not quite sure what I need to ask. I don't need to ask anything. But inside of that, I don't need to ask anything, but I may need to be grateful for many things. And so we have to individually discern what we are bringing to the Mass, what we are going to ask of God, or what we are going to give to God. But the key here is we don't motivate ourselves to go to Mass out of the nature of our affections. We go to Mass because we believe God is there in Christ. And where God is in Christ, we who are his followers want.
We'll return in just a moment to The Way of Mystery with Deacon James Keating. Did you know that you can obtain a free app which contains all your favorite Discerning Hearts programs? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Archbishop George Lucas, Father Mauritius Fildi, and so many more, including episodes from Inside the Pages, can be obtained on the Discerning Hearts free app. This also includes all the novenas and devotionals and prayers, including the Holy Rosary and Stations of the Cross, the Chaplet of St. Michael, and the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, all available on the Discerning Hearts free app. Visit the iTunes and Google Play app stores to obtain your free Discerning Hearts app today.
Litany of Humility.
O Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me. From the desire of being esteemed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being loved,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being extolled,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being honored,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being praised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being preferred to others,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being approved,
deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being despised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes,
deliver me, Jesus.
from the fear of being calumniated.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being ridiculed.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being wronged.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being suspected.
Deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I.
That others may be esteemed more than I.
That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease.
That others may be chosen and I set aside.
That others may be praised and I unnoticed.
That others may be preferred to me in everything.
That others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should.
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
Amen.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
We now return to The Way of Mystery with Deacon James Keating.
There can be a danger, can there, that we judge our experience and again get those feelings by looking at those around us and say, well, they're not as happy, or they don't sing as much, or they don't participate as much. When what you've just told me is that everyone who's coming, we just don't know what their interior experience is at that moment. We're not sure where that community is at.
Exactly. It's like the obnoxious person who you see in a mall or a school who comes up to you and says, smile, mm-hmm. You know, when you're not smiling, trying to impose some level of comfortability that on other people that they themselves are experiencing. They're feeling uncomfortable, the fact that not everyone is unified and having the same affective experience. Well, love teaches us that too bad. People are different. People are in different places, and we have to will the good for everyone, no matter what place they are emotionally in their life. And to judge other people around us by, gee, they're not singing, or gee, they're singing too loud, or whatever the opposite might be, is to simply have the ego run wild. Mm-hmm. There has to be some order, and there has to be some harmony, and there has to be some level of commonality in our worship. But we're not all robots, and in fact, it might be a little creepy that if everyone was on the same note and hitting the same level of affection or emotion, it would almost seem manufactured in some way. Mm-hmm. Everyone is bearing their own burdens, and as a community in Christ, we want to give people the freedom to bear those burdens in the presence of Christ. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, I think we can cut some people some slack.
Good advice. I like that, cutting people slack. And also recognizing that there is going to be a gap between the vision presented to us by the various prayers of the Eucharistic celebration and our actual experience of them.
Yeah, the distinction between the theology of what the Mass is and our individual subjective states about receiving what the Mass is, there will always be some lag between that. There'll always be some distinction between that. There is ideal language in the Mass. There is an ideal theology of the Mass that shouldn't depress normally healthy people. That should make us aspire to understand it and enter it more deeply. But occasionally, I know Christ is present, but, you know, frankly, today, it doesn't really move me. I'm more interested in what's going to happen after the Mass. On occasion, that's obviously a very human and understandable experience. But if that's always your experience, in other words, if you never desire to rise to the level of the truth of the Mass, then there's something wrong there spiritually. And, you should probably talk to your pastor or get some spiritual direction as to why am I not really interested in receiving the promises that Christ gave, the promise that this is my body and this is my blood and that I am here for you. I am going to change you from the inside out. Just render yourself available to me. Why does that great mystery, idealistic as it is, why does that great mystery not interest me? That's a wonderful thing to take to confession or take to pastoral counseling or spiritual direction, because the Holy Spirit wants to unlock that block, whatever it may be, that I'm unable to really rise and to receive what is, albeit an idealistic truth, that God is present and wants to live in me. But why am I not able to rise and receive that truth? Don't be afraid to entertain those questions and to seek someone competent to help you through them.
Well, having said that, I think it's also important to note how you emphasize the Eucharist is not a private devotion or even a collection of actions of varying importance.
There's a great tension. We are persons in community, and we're a community of persons. And in our parishes, we cannot relax that tension. We can't make the Mass an individual private devotion, nor can we make it some sociological construct or a political rally of some sort. We are persons in community. That means our individuality is always reverenced by God. But we are a community of persons, and that means that we have a collectivity in our identity, and this collectivity has to be reverenced as well. Our aim at which we are moving in the Catholic faith is always toward communion. Communion with Christ, yes, and we know we're in communion with Christ because Christ does not remove our individual identity, and communion with one another. And we are promised in heaven that our individual identity will be sustained in heaven, but we are not alone. In fact, heaven, in its very definition, is to be in communion with God and others. The Catholic community anticipates that type of communion, where we are deeply embedded in the lives of others, but we know it. We never go out of existence. Our individuality, our individual I, in other words, remains, even as we continually give that I away in love and in service to others. So the tension of a parish has to be retained. No, we cannot make the Mass about individual piety and devotion, but nor can we make it so communal that somehow we begin to think that God only comes to us as a group. Mm-hmm. God comes to us as Helen and Bob and Jim, and he comes to us in our individual identity, but amongst the brothers and sisters that he equally loves and is equally moving toward the fulfillment of their identity as lay people who are called to change and transform this culture so that it begins to glimmer a bit with the kingdom of God.
It's important when we talk about the Mass, the Eucharistic liturgy as a whole. I think sometimes we've looked at the words of institution as the essence of the Mass, that moment where we believe that Christ does become present for us in the Blessed Sacrament, as the most important part about the Mass, when while everything else was less important. And there's a real danger in that too, isn't there?
Christ is praying throughout the entire Mass, and all of the Mass is Christ's prayer. It's good to see that there is a crescendo of Christ's prayer in the Eucharistic prayer, and in the words of institution, this is my body, this is my blood. In the epiclesis, when the priest calls down upon the Holy Spirit to transform the bread and the wine into the body and blood. But Christ is praying throughout the entire Mass. He's praying in all the people. He's praying when the word is proclaimed. He's praying in the homily. He's praying, obviously, in the Eucharistic prayers. He's praying in the silences that hopefully we enter as a community. He's praying in the missioning at the end of the Mass when the deacon or the priest says, go and change the world now according to what you have received at this Mass. the very body and blood of Christ. He's praying throughout the entire thing. So we don't want to just make one aspect of the Mass the only reason for attending. There were hints of this at times in medieval times when people would just go into a church and look at the elevation of the host and then run out and go to another church and do the same thing. They thought in some magical way that they were being blessed when they just gazed upon the host.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not to just isolate the elevation of the host as the only reason for the Mass. But the entire Mass hangs together as an entire call from Christ to come and enter intimacy with him for the sake of our own salvation.
And today's segment, we're taking a look at the Paschal mystery in the Eucharistic liturgy. And what I found, Deacon Keating, just one line that really struck me is, we derive our identity from what we celebrate. As Catholics, of course, the Eucharist is the magnificent prayer that really does define us, doesn't it?
Yeah, as we noted in the opening of our conversation, that you know, we are asked by Christ to be available, to render ourselves available so that he may take us into his life, his death, and his resurrection. And that's what we're celebrating at the Mass, his coming to us and our responding to that coming by Christ. So when we talk about our deriving our identity from this celebration of Christ coming to us and our responding to him, we are right at the fulfillment of our baptismal call, that after all you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We are always tossed about in this culture by the media, by advertising, by politics, by economics, different quadrants of our culture trying to vie to identify us. You're a consumer. You're just a political person. Your identity exhausted by being a capitalist. Everyone is trying to tell us who we are so that they can get something from us, usually. Christ is telling us who we are in a way that solidifies our identity unto eternity. He is the only one who carries the truth about our identity. All the other identities and all the other sphere of our living may coalesce and contribute and influence our identity, but he carries to us the truth and the core of who we are. And if we receive the identity that he's giving, then that core will actually last even through death. If we receive what Christ is giving us, and of course, what is he giving us but himself? If we receive what he's giving us, and that life of his lives in us, that is truly our identity. And it is, as Blessed Marmion taught us, it is the seed of the resurrection within us. So the identity that Christ gives us, come and share my life, and then he places that life within us, the same life and death and resurrection that he experienced as Jesus of Nazareth and the ascending Jesus after the resurrection. That same life that is Jesus the Christ now lives in us. It defines us. We are identified as Christians, as people who bear the name of the Messiah. And it is this identity that we receive when we receive Holy Communion, the seed of the resurrection. And it is this identity that gets us through death's door. All the other identities, be it capitalist or consumer or materialist or whatever we want to enter into as Americans, all of those labels and identities and realities have no salvific power. If we were to depend just on those types of passing identities, we would not have hope. We would not have the hope of the resurrection. So the identity that Jesus gives us at the Mass, we are to gratefully and eagerly receive, because what he's giving us is our heart's desire. He's giving us the resurrection.
Well, unfortunately, this particular segment, we're just out of time. Thank you very much, Deacon Keating.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Way of Mystery the Eucharist and Moral Living with Deacon James Keating. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Institute for Priestly Formation. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for The Way of Mystery, the Eucharist and Moral Living with Deacon James Keating.